Yo, what up? It's your boy Kobe Mack, and this is the Kobe Told Me podcast. Yo, whenever I want to, and damn, did I mean it, deep dive with the Mack himself, where I get to amplify my movie reviews for your listening pleasure. Would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials at Kobe Told Me on Twitter and Instagram, and sometimes I'm on Facebook at Kobe Mack. Welcome back. This is episode 2 of me trying to do the redo of the podcast that you're tuning into. Woo! It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a dope pod to step 2, episode 2, the long overdue redo. This wasn't the plan, y'all. I said on the re-intro to the first episode that I want to be consistent. That's me smacking my hand for letting y'all down, because boy, oh boy, I've been off my game. Lazy as a motherfucker. Story time. I can't explain why. There's no rhyme, reason, no excuse, nothing. I think it's just pure laziness. And I think for some of the brothers and sisters that are inside this profession that's been doing it for a long time, I've battled with these bouts of not depression, but just in my own headness subconsciously that keeps me from doing the things that I love to do. But let me tell y'all something. When I'm on the mic right here, this feels so natural, so edifying. I love watching movies, and let me tell y'all, just because it's not a podcast from your boy, I'm still watching these movies. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still behind. But I'm watching stuff. So please make sure you give me a follow, because you can stay up to date, at least when I give a quick impression of something that I watched. But I do want to be more consistent to the podcast. And we are in the swing of the summer movie season. Of course, is it a true summer movie season when it's not being kicked off with a Marvel movie? And this time it's actually good? So every week, I mean, we're talking about 1, 2, 3, who knows how many releases. I've got to stay up on this game. And I figured before we get to like the second truest week of the summer movie season in 2023, a movie about family, I wanted to kick it off with a movie that I think is really about family and does it so much better. And I think what I love about it is that it was completely unexpected from the inception of this franchise. This movie was not supposed to work. The Guardians of the Galaxy was supposed to be where the MCU jumped the shark. And I gotta say, based off of the 3 films that we've got from James Gunn and the other appearances of the Guardians that are making inside the MCU, this is by far the most consistent and the most dependent thing, particularly post-Infinity Saga, that the MCU has with regards to its characters, their story arcs, and the way that we connect not only to them, but amongst themselves. Like, this shouldn't be about family, and that we take it seriously. But everything's earned. In Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, man, for those out there that had any skepticism with what they think James Gunn is going to do for the DCEU, think again. Still reeling from the loss of Gamora, got Peter Quill. He rallies his team to defend the universe and one of their own, a mission that could mean the end of the Guardians if not successful. Shout out to IMDb for the most vaguest or sometimes obscure little mini plots. This film is directed by James Gunn and written by him as well. And it's crazy because this was a redemption film for him. He was cast aside, caught up in Twitter nonsense, where he was saying some really like dastardly and disgusting things that resurfaced, and yo, Disney hit him with that. We'll see you. And I think he paid his penance, and story's king. And this man's been sitting on the story for a real long time, and I think we're thankful for the way that, despite the things that he's had to work through as a human being to be a better man, it's very evident through the story, the ways that he's evolved. And we can see that through the way that he sees these characters, the way that he crafts the story, the way that he still plays within the sandbox that MCU gives him, but he makes the most of every grain. I mean, it's crazy that this was the epic conclusion to, I gotta say, to one of the greatest trilogies with inside the MCU. And like I mentioned earlier, everything is earned. Every laugh, every tear, every tug at your heart. And yes, you will be sitting in this movie theater for 2 hours and be like, please don't, please don't. And it gets you because the story is touching. You've got characters that we have invested into and really great performances and the most clear direction, probably the entire Phase 5. Of course, this is the first film of Phase 5 of the entire post-Infinity Saga. And y'all know my issues with everything that's happened post-Infinity Saga. That was a perfect way to be able to end that contained story. And as I continue to be more consistent with this podcast, you will see as I go through my MCU rewatch the ways in which this story could have been told that could have made Phase 4 that much more impactful and not feel rudderless. So it was refreshing to be able to come back to a world that is far from rudderless, but it's the most clear direction that we've had in a while. Now, granted, last year we did get Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever. And I remember rating that movie an 8 out of 10 because I did believe it was a step down from the original Black Panther. However, it looked a little better. The performances were a bit more jerking to the emotionality, but I think a lot of that was wrapped up in the loss of Chadwick Boseman, RIP. And there's things narratively that I just didn't jive with, but man, De Noche Huerta, his performance as Namor. And I've also got the chance to be able to meet that young brother. I say young like he's younger than me, that brother. Was fantastic. So I got a little soft spot, but honestly, most of Phase 4 was just a miss for me. So it was so refreshing to be able to get a back-to-back hit for me. Like I said, the Guardians weren't supposed to work, but I think it reminds us all to be, I mean, the theme of this film, to be exactly who we are, whether we work or not. I think exploring those themes through a truly dastardly villain, whoop, by Chukwuma Egbuju, man, that brother, like, he was good. And I remember getting into some like little Twitter beefs because I'm like, yo, I think this is one of the better villains in the entirety of the MCU. Because I saw somebody who was committed and was not contrived with their plans. I think that we found a man inside this story that was so burdened by the expiration of more or better or perfect because when he looked in the mirror, he didn't see it in himself. We talk about the way that we glorify villains who, when we see their plans through their eyes, it seems justified. There's nothing justified about the high evolutionary's plans in the way that he views the entirety of existence. He made a line in the film that said, there is no God, and that's why I stepped in. When that is your creed and your the crux of what makes you tick, there's not much length that you'll go to be able to execute your plan. Let me tell you something. His plan is one of the baddest in the entirety of the MCU. My dude straight up went like, Thanos had an idea for erasing half of existence for a kind of altruistic purpose. There's no altruism here. There's an action that takes place, and I'm pretty sure most of the folks that listen has already seen the movie. But I want to keep this non-spoilers because there's still a lot of movies to be seen that some of y'all will get around to it. But yo, he does something that made me almost get up on my seat and be like, yo, did he just do that? And I think it's great that we can be able to have the balance of this villain wrapped up into the backstory of Rocket and seeing what makes him tick. And we saw not only what makes him tick, but where so much of his anger stems from. And it's been great throughout the entirety of the Guardians of the Galaxy story where everybody gets their time to shine, everybody gets their time to reflect, and everybody grows. no one is shortchanged. And even when I've had my issues with Drax, that brother came and, man, he made my day. Like, this, in my opinion, is the funniest that Drax has been in the entirety of the franchise. I think he was written great. This is one of the better performances, in my opinion, from Dave Bautista. And I can just tell he just went. And everything worked. His timing continues to get better. I think he's a little overrated, but in this performance, he is good, solid. Mantis, Palm Clemente, like, she's so good. Karen Gillan as... yeah. Karen Gillan as Nebula is, like, really, really good. Yo, even the fact that you got my girl, Zoe Saldana, like, yo, she's having to do double duty because the Zoe Saldana Gamora that we knew from the previous films is not the Gamora that we have here. Because if everybody remembers from Infinity War, right, essentially what you have happen in that movie is that Gamora, she gets sacrificed for the Soul Stone to be able to give to Thanos. And because of the time heist that happens inside of Endgame, we get reintroduced to an older version of Gamora before she found her family in the Guardians, before she found her love for Peter. And I'm glad that this film wasn't bogged down by essentially Peter Quill, Chris Pratt, vying for a woman who he just wants to relove again. And you get that, but it's not in this creepy version, which, like, oh, we've been there and done that. Essentially, I think that we have James Gunn crafting a story that makes it okay that we don't always get the love that we want or how we want them. There's so much balance in this film with a lot of the characters that we have. It's doing a really good job. And the more that I talk about it, the more that I'm just impressed by, like, damn, they're doing all of that. He's doing all of this while playing in the same sandbox that Sam Raimi did inside of Multiverse of Madness, or that Chloe Zhao did inside of The Eternals. Yet, why do those films feel so ugh to me? I think it's because James Gunn is one of those creatives where he will not be denied. You'll give him a sandbox, he's going to make a pristine sandcastle out that bad boy, the likes that nobody will see coming before him. He's going to make so much of a mark that it's going to be hard to be able to top this. And Nia DaCosta, my girl, I love what you did with Candyman, but sheesh! Batter up, because you're going to have to hit out a solid double and triple to be able to top this. This was good. So, so good. There's things that go on screen that are so imaginative. I'm like, how do you think of this? Visually, this film is a feast. I think the ante is upped with the cinematography and primarily the CGI from what we got in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 to now in 3. I'm just beyond impressed. And it makes me wonder, like, yo, it seems like a lot of these other MCU films, they get shot someplace completely different. They don't look like they're by the same studio. If I were to compare most of the CGI and the cinematography in Multiverse of Madness versus this film, this is leaps and bounds better. It makes it look like Multiverse of Madness is cut right in some places. But I think particularly it's the way that James Gunn is unwilling to be denied and getting what he wants to capture, particularly the way how the story affects what the images are capturing on the screen. Now, don't get me wrong. This film was not perfect. I had high hopes for Adam Warlock. And to be honest with you, yo, he wasn't bad. He wasn't necessarily what I was looking for, but that's not true criticism. It's not about what I'm missing. It's about critiquing what was there. And it wasn't bad. I think there was much more comedy to that character than I had expected, but it did work with the story that was being painted because having another just megalo villain wasn't the goal there. And what you end up getting in the end of the film, it works because it's earned. Everything about this franchise is earned. Every character moment is earned. And I got the same feeling at the end of this movie with its finality as I did at the end of Endgame. The signatures and sign-offs from our actors and these characters made me feel in a good place to be able to let go. And talk about that theme of letting go. We have this family that is finally back together after dealing with half of them being erased from existence. And essentially we're at a place now where we can be able to move forward, but not feel incomplete, not feel cheated. because the journey was so worth it. Kobe told me rating for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is a 9 out of 10. Yo, the 9s is coming in hard this year. I'm going to have so many films in my top 10. And I love it. I love it. This film is written and directed once again by James Gunn. It is starring Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Bradley Cooper, Karen Gillan, Palm Clementif, Vin Diesel, Chukwudi Iwuji. Well, that'll do it for this one. Can't wait to get you to the next one. Until then, please like, subscribe, comment, and share. Fast X with Vin Diesel and his family. It's going to be coming soon. So once again, thanks for rocking with me. And remember, when they ask you where you heard it from, tell them Kobe told me. Peace.